Well, I'm so glad that we video these messages and these worship services. We've got it, evidence of it. We're going to show it somewhere. Minister of Music in Baptist Church dances during the worship service. Mark was getting into it up there, wasn't he? He's having a good time. That's good. Hey, turning your Bibles to go to John, the 10th chapter. I'll get there in just a moment, but again, a number of verses this morning. I don't have a primary text. I started a series of messages last week that I'll do for a couple more weeks. The series is entitled Listen, and it has to do with listening to God, how important it is we learn to hear God's voice. And I want to take that just a little bit deeper this morning. A quick word of review, and I started off with a very basic truth last week. I want to give it to you again, and it was simply this: God still speaks to his people today. Now, a lost person doesn't have a clue about that. They have no idea how God speaks, and in some ways they would probably think that a statement like that, people who would make it, would be crazy. But for those of us who know the Lord, for those of us who've walked with the Lord, we understand and we do know that God speaks to his people. He speaks to his children, to those who have the capacity to hear him. I read a couple of verses with you last week, and I'll do that some more this morning. But I showed you a verse in the Old Testament, Isaiah 30, verses 20 and 21, actually speaking about the Lord in many ways, but it also is an Old Testament prophecy about the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit. And speaking of the Holy Spirit prophetically, Isaiah 30, verses 20 and 21 says, "Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and the water of oppression, he, your teacher," and that's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And for those of us who know the Lord, the only reason you can understand truth, the only reason you can receive truth, the only reason you can comprehend truth is because he, your teacher, teaches you. He opens your eyes. He opens your heart. He gives you understanding. It takes the Spirit of God to be able to speak to our hearts so that we can understand. He's the one who teaches us. He, your teacher. And it says he will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. And then he says, your ear will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it whenever you turn to the right or turn to the left. And the Holy Spirit does that to those of us who know him. Jesus speaking in these words, he said often, Matthew 11, verse 15, "He who has ears, spiritual ears, he who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then you come to a section of verses in the Gospel of John that puts it as clear as any verses that I know. And I'm going to read from John the 10th chapter, verse 4, verse 16, and verse 27. This is what it says. "When he," speaking of the shepherd, "when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because," now listen, "they know his voice." Jesus goes on to say, "I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." And then Jesus says these words, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Folks, it doesn't get any clearer than that. Jesus makes it absolutely clear. My sheep hear my voice. And you know, if you stop and think about it, it would just make sense that a God who desires for us to know him, a God that desires for us to know and to do his will, would have to be able to speak to us. And he does speak today. But often we either are not listening for him to speak, or we don't know how to recognize his voice, or our hearts and our minds have become so cloudy, cluttered, and closed that we don't recognize his voice. Psalm 81, I want to go there for just a few moments. Psalm 81, we find a sad account of a people who would not listen to the voice of God. And here you find out what happened to these people, but you also see God's heart that he has for his people hearing him speak. I'm going to read Psalm 81, verses 8 to 16. It says this, "Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you would listen to me, let there be no strange god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart to walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you." Boy, you read the words of that great psalm, and you can just hear God pleading with his people to listen to him. And folks, I would say to us today, God pleads for you and for me to listen to him. But I wonder how many times God has spoken to us and we really weren't listening to him. We have become so occupied with other things, we do not hear his voice. And I personally believe one of the most important lessons that we need to learn as God's children is how to recognize and how to heed his voice when he speaks to us. Well, last week, as I shared that first message with you, I gave you three very important actions or attitudes in our lives that we must have if we're going to hear God's voice. Here they were. Do you remember them? Well, let me ask you, were you listening? Maybe. Number one, we need open ears, spiritual ears, open ears that are quick to listen. We need an overjoyed heart that's quick to receive. We need an obedient will that is quick to obey. That's what we need to be able to hear God's voice and be able to respond to him. This morning, I want to take this matter of listening to God a little bit deeper, and I want to ask and answer three questions for you this morning, and I hope this will be helpful to you. Number one, why does God speak today? Number two, how does God speak today? Number three, what does God want from me when he does speak today? Let's deal with those three this morning. Number one, why does God speak today? Hey, because he does speak, and because his word makes it so clear. Why does God speak to his people? Now, I'm sure there's a lot of answers that we could give to answer that question, and many of them would be right, but I want to give you what I believe are the four primary answers to that question this morning. Number one, God still speaks today because he loves us. Now, that's pretty simple, but that's very, very true. In fact, I'd put it this way, God still speaks because he loves us just as much as he loved the people in biblical times. When you read through your Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, you find that God spoke to his people. And he did so through varied methods and through numerous avenues. But he clearly spoke to his people back in biblical times. And because he wants to develop a relationship with us, that's why Jesus came and died on the cross for us. And that's why he saved us, so we could be brought into a fellowship and a relationship with him. Because of that, because he wants us fellowshipping and walking with him, he still desires to speak to his people. He speaks to us today, just as he did with people back in the times of the Bible. That's the first reason I believe God speaks. Secondly, God still speaks today because we need direction for living. We need him to give us direction for life. We need to be told how to live. We need to be told what to do in order to please him. You know, as you read through the Bible, you'll find that the Bible is filled with great men and women of God, people who needed direction for living. You go to the Old Testament, you find people like Moses, Noah, and Joshua. You find in the New Testament people like Paul, John, and Peter. And just like those biblical personalities needed God's direction for their life, so you and I do today. I need God to direct me. Hey, I don't want to blow this life, do you? I don't want to make a mess of this life. I did a pretty good job of that before I got my life right with the Lord. I want to be able to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish in this life. I don't want my life to be wasted. I don't want to go through whatever years of life God gives me and not do what God put me here on this earth to do. I want to be able to know what God wants me to do with my life. So that's why God speaks to us. Hey, do you know what a life verse is? I forget who I heard frame that many years ago, but it's a verse or verses of scripture that you have kind of taken and claimed for your own life. And you've kind of built your life around those verses, kind of a motto, if you would, for your life and living. Well, I'm gonna share mine with you this morning. It's found in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5-7. And I want you to listen to these verses, because these verses speak of my great need for direction in living and guidance for living. This is what Proverbs 3:5-7 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And for the last bunch of years, 40 or more years, those verses have been my life verse. I've tried to live my life around those verses. In fact, to be honest with you, every time I come to preach, before I go to preach, I pray, and I pray those verses. I acknowledge my trust in the Lord. I acknowledge that I can't lean on my own understanding. I tell the Lord I want to make Him known in all that I do and ask Him to make my path straight. I tell Him I need His wisdom. I need His guidance. And folks, we all do. And that's why I believe God speaks to us. He guides us along the way. Hey, back to those verses I read to you in John 10 a moment ago. In those verses, Jesus told us that He was the shepherd and He called us sheep. You remember that? And those verses are clear about the relationship of a shepherd to the sheep. Just as sheep need shepherds to guide them, so we need the great shepherd's work in our life, His voice in our life to guide us. You know, the shepherd guides his sheep to green pastures. He leads them to water. He guards them from danger. He provides that sheep with everything they need. And so our great shepherd will do for us if we will let Him. We are His sheep. And by the way, folks, let me just tell you, it might surprise you. When Jesus called us sheep, He was not paying us a compliment. I mean, we think sheep are nice little cute cuddly animals. No, sheep are dumb. Sheep are useless without a shepherd. Sheep don't even know how to get back to the fold without a shepherd. Sheep are useless without a shepherd. They easily get in trouble. They easily wander away. They would starve to death without a shepherd to guide them to food and water. Boy, how desperate the sheep need a shepherd. And aren't you glad Jesus is that to us? He calls us His shepherd, but how desperately we need Him. And when you understand the importance of the shepherd's voice to the sheep, it's the shepherd's voice that guides the sheep along life's journey for them. And the same thing is true for us. We are the sheep who need a guide. We need a great shepherd. And God speaks to us because of that. Thirdly, God still speaks today because we too need comfort and assurance. Just like people in Old Testament times, people in New Testaments, they needed God's assurance in their life. They needed God's comfort in their life. And through life's journey, we all need God's comfort and assurance along the way. You don't have to look any further than the book of Psalms to see that. David is given credit for writing almost 2/3 of the Psalms that we have in our Bible. And most of those Psalms, somewhere along the way in those Psalms, it's David crying out to God for comfort and for assurance. Psalm 63, verse 1 is a great example. I love these verses. This is what he says. Oh God, You are my God.
I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Well, he just needed to hear a word of comfort from God. He just needed the assurance that God was there. He longed for God's presence, and God assured him that he was going to be there. Hey, folks, we need that today. That's why God speaks. And it's particularly through times of difficulty that we all walk through that we can best hear God's voice, because he wants to bring us the comfort and the assurance that we all need. And then fourthly, I would say this: God still speaks today because God wants us to really know him. And that's really why we can have such a relationship with the Lord. In fact, the most important reason God is still speaking today may well be because he wants us to know him on a personal and deep level. Hey, let me read you a verse of scripture this morning. I don't know but of one verse in the Bible that defines eternal life for us. Now, I don't know how you would define it. I don't know if somebody asked you the question, what is eternal life? You would probably say it's living forever, and that's certainly correct. But what is really eternal life? Well, Jesus defines it for us. And it's really a unique definition. It's a deep definition, but it's also a very simple definition. Listen at what he says. This is found in John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, Jesus says, that they may know you, speaking of God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is eternal life? It's coming to know God. In fact, let me ask you this morning, if you claim to be a believer, do you know God? Do you know the Lord? A lot of people know about him, but there's a world of difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Do you know him? That's what eternal life is all about. On the one hand, it's coming to know him personally here on this earth. One of these days when we go to heaven, guess what? We have the blinders taken off of us, and we get to know him in all his fullness. And it will take us eternity to get to know him in such a way. But that's what eternal life is all about. Philippians 3, the first part of verse 8, Paul wrote, he said, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Hey, we must get to know God. And you and I both know that you can't really get to know a person if you don't communicate with them. God has communicated his love to us through his Son, and he continues to want to communicate to us in order that we might come to know him better and better and better. I hope that's true in your life. I hope that's the desire of your heart. I don't care how old you get to be, I hope your heart's desire is always to know God better than you've known him before. That's why God still speaks today. Question number two, how does God speak today? How does God speak today? Now, before I answer this question, I want to make a couple of comments to you. First comment, I want to say this to you. I in no way want to try to put God in a box with this answer. Let me say loud and clear, God's God. God can do what he wants to do. And just about the time you think God, you figured God out, he'll do something to show you you ain't figured him out quite yet. God has many ways that he answers. And God, I have often said, I've never heard the voice of God, but you know what? If God wanted to speak with an audible voice, guess what? He could do it. He did it in Bible times. He doesn't have to, but he could. So I don't want to put God in a box by this answer, but I want to secondly say this. We do need to be aware of how God normally speaks, because there are many out there in the world that have some crazy ideas about God and how he works in our lives. In fact, I have to tell you, I've heard some wild things over these years about how God spoke to a person and what he spoke. I had a man come to my office one day. I was his pastor, and he wanted to come talk to me. He wanted to tell me what God had said to him. I said, all right, tell me. You know what he told me? I wanted to laugh, but I didn't. Really wanted to. I really, really did want to. He said, God said he's going to leave me here during the tribulation. I said, why did he say that to you? He said, well, somebody's got to take care of all the churches that get left behind. By the way, the Lord didn't leave him here. He died a few years ago. That's not what the Lord said to him. People say weird things about God sometimes. And sometimes people think they hear God when they don't hear God. We have to be discerning, folks. And I do believe the Bible is very clear. And the Bible gives some clear discernment for us so that we can know and recognize the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They recognize my voice. So how do you recognize God's voice? How does God speak? I want to give you what I believe to be the four primary ways God does speak to his people. And I think you will find that these are true. Number one, God speaks to us primarily through the scriptures. God speaks to us primarily through the scriptures. And I say that loudly and clearly. It is primarily through the written word of God that God has chosen to speak to us. It is often through the Bible that God reveals himself to us and speaks to us concerning his will for our lives and the way that we are to live our lives for his glory. Now, I could take you to a boatload of verses that speak to that this morning. Let me just go to one that I love, Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. The psalmist writes, and he says, how blessed is the man, the person, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But listen, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. That person who meditates in God's word day in and day out, why? Because it's in God's word that God has spoken to us about how he expects us to live. Hey, folks, in his word, God tells us all that he desires for us. He tells us that we are to read his word. He tells us we are to pray. He tells us we're to share our faith. He tells us we are to go to church. He tells us how to live in a pure and holy manner. Everything that we need about life and living, God has spoken to us about it in his word. And in his word, he speaks to all of us. To those basic things that I just mentioned and others, there are no exceptions. God's word to you in his word is the same it is to everybody else. You're not exempt. He speaks to you about you. In his word, God speaks to all of us about his will and his ways for our lives as his children. And like God himself, his word is unchanging. It is immutable. It changes not with the passing of time and the changing of the season. It speaks to every person in every culture, in every age. And when we read this book called the Bible, we are reading the word of God to his people. God speaks to us through his word. You better mark that one down. In fact, I'm going to say something else about that in just a moment, but let me tell you about something that's neat about God doing that. It's neat how God can take this book that we call the Bible, and he speaks to all of us concerning life and living, but it's also neat how he can take it and speak to you individually about you. Have you noticed that? If you've read your Bible and if you've been listening to God, you have noticed that. In fact, it's interesting how God can take his word, which was written hundreds of years ago, and use it to speak to my life in the year 2025. I'll show you that. Romans 10:17, one of my favorite scriptures. It says this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, or hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. There are a lot of words used in the Greek language for the word word. One of those words is the word logos. You've heard that before. In fact, there's a software company that many pastors and many lay people use called Logos, and it's taking God's word and helping us to better understand it. And when we take this Bible, we from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, 66 books in our Bible, New Testament, Old Testament, all of it is God's word. It's God's logos. The totality of his word is his logos. And it all is the word of God. That's the logos of God. So when you pick up this book that we call the Bible, you are literally picking up the word of God. But there's another word that is used for word that takes that even deeper. It is the word rhema. And that word is really an interesting word. It refers to God's spoken word directly to the heart. Now listen carefully to me. It is through God's logos that God speaks rhema to his children and reveals his will specifically for their lives. Through his logos, he speaks to us all about life and living. And what he declares to be true for us as his children is true for all of us. But it is also true that God can take the logos of his word and he can speak to Ken Hall in the year 2025 about matters of life and living. That's rhema. Let me explain it to you this way. Have you ever been reading your Bible and you're in a section of verses that you've read 24 times? I mean, you've almost memorized them. You've read them so much. Your Bible's almost wore out where you've read and underlined those words so much. And then all of a sudden, for the first time, there's something about that verse that just jumps off the pages and grabs your heart, and you understand it in ways you've never understood it before. That ever happened to you? Should have. You know what that was? It's rhema. That's rhema. God speaking directly to us. And that's the beauty of his word. That's the power of his word. Through his word, he speaks to all his people for all time and eternity. But through his word, he's also able to guide us and direct us, speak to us individually about life and living. Let me offer a word of caution here. Let me make sure you understand something. When God speaks to us, regardless of the method he may choose to speak, what we hear him speak will always be consistent with what he has revealed in his written word. And if you think you hear something contrary to the written word, then it was not the voice of God you heard. God will never, never, never contradict what he's already declared and spoken for all time in his written word. And if you think you hear God say something that does, you're in error. You've not listened with a discerning spirit. You are wrong. I'll give you an example. What if a person said something like this? Well, God told me I did not have to pay taxes to the government because I don't agree with what they're doing with it. Well, I got news for you. I don't agree with most of what they're doing with it. But I pay my taxes. You know why? Two reasons. First reason's not all that important, but the second one is. First reason, I don't want to go to jail. Pretty simple. That's what I have to do if I'm going to live here in the United States. But there's a deeper reason I pay my taxes. God said so. I don't have to wonder about that. I don't have to question that. God said so.
In fact, he said this, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. In Romans 13:7, Paul gets very specific about this. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. God's commanded us to pay our taxes. I can't say he told me to do otherwise. God will not contradict that which he's already told us in his written word. So God speaks to us through his word. Secondly, God speaks to us through the Spirit. Did you know that? God speaks to us through his Spirit. When we are born again, God calls us to be reborn in our inner being, and he placed his Holy Spirit within our hearts and lives. And God is able to speak to our spirits through his Spirit. And that's why in the New Testament, we're told to be filled with the Spirit. We're told to live in the Spirit. We're told to walk in the Spirit. We're told to be led by the Spirit. That's why Isaiah wrote what he did prophetically about the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 30, 21, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. Let me ask you, have you ever had this happen to you? Have you ever just been minding your own business and you were there maybe shopping at a grocery store and pumping gas at a gas station or just whatever you were doing in life, and all of a sudden you heard this still small voice, not with audible ears but with ears of the heart, say, hey, go witness to that person over there and tell them about Jesus. Now let me assure you, that's not the devil. Who told you that? Where did that come from? It's the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many times in counseling I've had, and I believe this is part of spiritual gifts. I believe this gets into the realm of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. But listen, I've had times where I did not know a situation with a person. I did not know what was going on in their life. I did not know what to tell them. But as I'm listening to them in a counseling situation, I'm praying in my spirit, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me guidance to help me know what to say to this person. And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to my heart, and he tells me something to tell that person that I would have never known any other way. And when I do, they're shocked. How did you know that? Well, I didn't know how I knew that. Guess who told me? It's the Holy Spirit. Do you know how to listen to his voice? He's leading you. The only way he can lead you. Hey, when you get convicted of sin as a believer, can I assure you your flesh does not convict you of sin? Can I also assure you the devil does not convict you of sin? He might condemn you over it, but he doesn't convict you. Yet as a believer, when you sin and you get convicted, and you will be convicted if you're a believer, what is that conviction? Where does that come from? You say it comes from your conscience. Well, yes, but that's not where it directly comes from. It directly comes from the Spirit of God. He's convicting your conscience about you violating God's standard. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And he does. We learn to listen to his voice. God speaks through his Scripture. God speaks through the Spirit. Thirdly this morning, God speaks through the saints. He speaks through the saints. Now you know who the saints are, don't you? I'm not talking about Saint Christopher and St. Thomas, those guys. I'm not talking about the Catholic concept of sainthood. You know who the Bible refers to as saints? Look at that person next to you this morning. That's a saint, if they're saved. Now, for some of y'all, it's hard to believe. Saint Richard, can you believe that? Saint Robin. Well, that's not a hard one to believe. You're a saint if you're saved. You know the word saint means? It means holy one. Well, you're not holy on your own, but if you got saved, you're holy in Jesus. He made you holy. He gave you the gift of his righteousness.
positionally, you're as righteous and holy as he is. That's why you're a saint. But you know, it's an amazing thing how God can use his saints to speak to our hearts. How he can bring just the right person across our path at the right time to speak to us things that we need to hear. Now, when a saint speaks, they're not speaking the word of God as if God's word speaks, but God uses them to speak to us. Not everybody can be used of God. Not everybody that speaks into our life is of God. But again, isn't it unique how God can bring just the right person across our path at the right time? I'm not going to read it this morning, but Galatians 2, verses 11 to 14 is an interesting story. It's about how Paul had to deal with Peter because of hypocrisy in Peter's life. Peter was a hypocrite. And God used Paul to go speak to Peter to correct him about a sin in his life. You ever had a saint of God come to you? He or she saw something in your life that shouldn't be there, and they had enough boldness and enough grace to come speak to you about it, and God used what they said to show you a weak point in your life, a blind spot, some area in your life you needed to get right. God will use the saints. I remember when I was going from Valdosta to Atlanta. I mean, I'm down in Valdosta. I'm at Northside Baptist Church. The church was doing great. We loved it down there. We thought we'd stay in Valdosta the rest of our life. And all of a sudden, I got a call from First Baptist Church of Lilburn to go see about coming to be their pastor. I didn't want to go back to Atlanta. In fact, I'll just be real honest. I didn't want to go back to Atlanta. But don't tell God what you ain't going to do. Well, I began to pray about it. Lord, show me. I need wisdom. Lord, I don't want to leave. You show me. I happened to send an email to one of my accountability partners, and I just made mention in that email, hey, man, pray for me. I need God's wisdom about going to, and he knew I was talking to First Baptist Church of Lilburn, and I made a comment in there about how transitional of an area Lilburn had become, and I was just not sure I wanted to go to it. And I got a response back from my accountability partner. He does realize it now because I later told him. But at that time, he didn't realize that God used him to speak to me about a concern in my life where God confirmed that I was supposed to go to First Baptist Church of Lilburn. And it was through a saint of God. It was through one of my accountability partners that God spoke to me and confirmed what I was supposed to do. End up staying 13 years, First Baptist Church of Lilburn. Boy, God can use the saints of God. It's one of the reasons you come to church. That's the reason, one of the reasons you assemble together. That's the reason you need the church. The church needs you. You need people around you that will help you understand God's will and God's ways, discern God's voice. And when you don't have that, you're cheating yourself. God speaks through Scripture. He speaks through His Spirit. He speaks through His saints. I'll say this and then I'll close quickly this morning. God speaks through situations. Through situations. Here's what I mean by that statement. God will use various unusual circumstances and situations in life to get our attention, and He does so to teach us and to show us His will for our life. He can and He will open doors and close doors to speak to us about where we need to go and what He wants us to do. How about Jonah? Y'all remember him? Jonah was a rebellious preacher. He was running from God. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach repentance. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to preach repentance, so he thought he could run from God. How foolish. In the process of his running from God, it's interesting, God threw a storm at Jonah. He custom made a storm just for Jonah. And out on the sea, Jonah got thrown into the sea. And not only had God custom made a storm for him, God custom made a fish. 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of a fish. God had his attention. Let me ask you something. Do you think through those circumstances Jonah heard from God? Did he hear God's voice? You better believe he did. Because when that fish threw him up on land, he went running to Nineveh. He still wasn't happy about it, but he went. Hey, God knows how to get your attention. He can open doors and close doors. In fact, Paul one time prayed in 1 Corinthians 16:8 and 9, but I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide open door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. God normally speaks to us through the Scripture, through the Spirit, the saints, unusual circumstances. Why does God speak? How does God speak? Lastly, what does God want from me when he does speak? I've got a couple more pages of my notes. I'm not going to give them all to you this morning. I'll give you most of them, but I'm not going to give you all of them. I want you to do that. Can I just tell you what he wants? When God speaks, he wants you to obey. Do you realize this morning as a child of God how important obedience is to God's voice? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, I've seen it in my own life, and I've watched churches full of people over these years who are miserable in their Christian life. And the bottom line, somewhere along life's journey, God spoke to them about a matter, and they did not obey God. And now they're miserable. Again, just listen to these words, and I'll close with this. Psalm 81, we read it a moment ago. But my people, God said, did not listen to me, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart to walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. And then listen at what God said he will do if they do. I would quickly subdue their enemies. I would turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you the finest of the wheat, and with the honey from the rock, I will satisfy you. But folks, it only comes to those who obey God. That when God speaks, you do what God tells you. Is God speaking to you about some sin in your life you need to deal with? You're going to be miserable until you obey God and do what you've got to do to deal with that sin. You can excuse it every way you want to. You can make every excuse in the book. But until you obey God, God is not going to bless you. Is there an area of service God's calling you to? Hey, we have too many Christians in the church today that want to sit on their blessed assurance and do nothing. God didn't call you to sit on your blessed assurance. God called you to serve him. And if you're not serving him actively somehow in the body of Christ, you've missed the boat. You've sat here in this church. You've listened to people preach those words, those things. Yet you're still not doing anything. Yet God's spoken to you about that over and over and over again. And you've not done anything. You're disobedient. God's not going to bless you till you obey him. Are you obedient in your giving? You know God's spoken to you about that? Are you giving like God teaches you to give? Or are you disobedient? And then you wonder why you can't make what you have go as far as it needs to go. Go read Malachi 3, you'll find out about that. Hey, I don't know what God's saying to you today, but I do know this. He wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to obey him. And through obedience to what he says, his blessings
come to his people. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Pray you'll help us to not only hear you, but Lord, to be obedient people. Oh God, forgive us for times that we are hard of hearing. We're hard-hearted. In our stubbornness, we refuse to do what you deal with us about, and maybe at times have dealt with us about over and over again. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to obey. Lord, help us to do what you tell us to do. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us enough that you'd want to speak to us. Help us to be an obedient people. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you've never been saved, hey, maybe God's been speaking to your heart this very morning. Maybe through the testimony of these who were baptized today, God's knocking at your heart's door. And he's saying to you, come to me. Come to me, just as these young people gave their heart and life to Jesus. You need to give your heart and life to Jesus. Or maybe as a believer, you've never followed through in believer's baptism. And boy, through what they did this morning, God's calling to you. You know it's his voice. You know he's speaking. Would you obey him this morning? Would you come today and give your life to Christ? Would you come today and follow him in believer's baptism? Or maybe you're here today and God's been speaking to you about some other matter. This altar's open if you need to come for prayer. If you need someone to pray with you, you come forward. We'll share with you. So Lord, help us during this invitation time to respond to your voice. Help us to respond to your speaking to us. All for your glory and honor, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Mark leads us in our singing. You respond this morning as God has spoken to you.